Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. After occupying the Promised Land, the Lord told Joshua to establish six cities of refuge, three to the east of the Jordan River and three to the west. Besides forming the basis for important laws in modern Western civilization, laws concerning these cities also foreshadow the refuge that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Please open your Bible to Joshua chapter 20 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his study.
Joshua chapter 20. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spoke unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that kills any person unawares and unwittingly or without premeditation or accidentally may flee there. And they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that does flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor accidentally and hated him not before time. In other words, again, it was not premeditated. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, and unto the city from where he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron in the mountain of Judah, and on the other side of Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain, out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead, out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan, out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourns among them, that whosoever kills any person at unawares may flee there and die not by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. Welcome to 2012 Wednesday Night Bible Study. And so in this chapter, we find that God is instructing Joshua to set up cities of refuge. Recall that after the flood, God laid down a basic rule to Noah that anyone who murderously shed the blood of others should pay for their crime with their own blood. We see this in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. Whoso sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. But we notice here tonight in our verses that God made a distinction between premeditated murder and unintentional, unpremeditated killing of another person. If the death wasn't premeditated, or if the person killed someone by accident, the slayer could seek refuge in the sanctuary of the tabernacle, physically holding on to the altar as a place of safety and protection. And we find that recorded in Exodus chapter 21, verses 12 through 14. Now that arrangement worked pretty good during the 40 years that the nation of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and even in the 7 years of the military conquest in Canaan. And that was because the tabernacle was physically at the center of the nation. And so any Israelite or stranger could flee to the tabernacle and find a place of refuge. But once the tribes have settled into the land of Canaan in their respective tribal inheritances, they needed these various places of refuge. And so they were scattered out throughout the land that the Israelites were located. We see here in Joshua chapter 20, verses 6 and 7, that God had ordained six cities of refuge, places of compassion, where anyone who had killed another person unintentionally could flee. You see that in the Israelite society, there was no police force or private investigators as we have in our land today. And so it was the moral responsibility of the family member, the next of kin to kind of like investigate who killed my brother, my wife, my mother, so on and so forth. And so you probably guessed that many times the avenger of blood's emotional subjectivity wasn't really always at an even level. Many times passion and anger would catch these avengers of blood, and of course it blurred their judgment. I can understand that. And you probably can too. And so due to the emotion of the loss of a loved one, more than likely, they didn't want to go through the whole procedure of wanting to find out if indeed an individual had killed their loved one accidentally. You know what they wanted to do. They wanted to find them, put their hands around their neck and kill them and ask questions later. I know why you're laughing, because that's what you would have done. That's why they set up this law. In fact, many times there was the avenging of death, and people were killed who weren't guilty of the crime. And thus, God instituted these cities of refuge. You see in verse 7, three cities west of the Jordan, starting from north, going to south. And then in verse 8, three cities on the east of Jordan, going from the south to the north. What do we gather from the Old Testament scriptures that speak about these cities of refuge and our texts tonight? Well, we know that they were strategically located so that there would be easy access for anybody who sought refuge. The land of Israel, keep in mind, is only about the size of the state of Maryland. And so nobody would be very far away from the city of refuge. Back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 19, verse 3, we saw how God commanded the nation to build highways in these cities of refuge. History tells us that these highways were to be maintained so that nobody would be hindered in getting to these cities. We know that bridges were to be built across every ravine that the highways came to, so that the person running for refuge didn't have to run down a ravine and then up a ravine. He could just go over a bridge and run towards this city of refuge. The highways were supposed to be rebuilt every spring, especially after the heavy winter rain, so that the surfaces would be smooth and easy to run on. We also know that at every crossroads or intersection on these highways, there were these big, bold signs. Like we have signs 490 North, 490 South, 590 North, 590 South. For you guys who know directions, that means everything. For me, it means absolutely nothing. But they would have these signs pointing the way with the word refuge city. You see in our text also that the gates of the cities of refuge were never to be locked. They were to be opened 24 hours. Now, if you were on the run from the avenger of blood, you would want those gates to be open for 24 hours. Just say that you have been running away from somebody for 20 miles, and all of a sudden you get to the gate, and here's the avenger of blood behind you, and it's closed. You're done. You have no hope. Once you got into the city, we see that it was to be well stocked. It was to provide for these fugitives a place to stay, a place of shelter, a place of safety. This was like legal protection in those days. But the protection was only guaranteed as long as they remained in the city. The scriptures tell us here that if the person left the city, the avenger of blood had legal rights to take his or her life. In fact, back in Numbers chapter 35, verses 26 through 28, if the individual went outside of the city once they got there, the city could do nothing to protect them. And also notice in their verses that the cities were designated for all the people of Israel, including the stranger. In other words, the same justice, the same protection and provision, the same, let's say, grace was offered free to all. And what God was doing in establishing these cities of refuge was setting the wheels in motion for what would ultimately become due process of law. In fact, much of our legal system is rooted in the Bible. And here we find the root of what we know to be a basic law in our land. Innocent until what? Proven guilty. This is where we get it from. We get it from the scripture. Now, until everything was investigated by the elders and justice was handed down in a full hearing before the entire congregation, the person who fled for refuge enjoyed security of presumed innocence. You say, okay, what can we gather from that? Well, there's some beautiful pictures in here for you and I. Because in Psalm 61, verse 3, we read, "For you, speaking of the Lord, you have been a shelter or a refuge for me and a strong tower from the enemy." Jesus tonight, beloved, is our refuge. He's our refuge. Now, there's contrasts in these cities of refuge with Christ and us, and there are great similarities. The contrast between the asylum found in these cities and the refuge of our personal salvation in Jesus Christ is really, really significant. Because we are guilty. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And yet God, in his wonderful mercy and grace, has invited us sinners to come to Christ for refuge. Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 12, we read, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There's the striking contrast. We don't deserve a place of refuge. We're rebels by nature and by choice against a holy God. And yet God in his wonderful mercy has provided for each and every one of us here tonight a place of refuge. And that place of refuge is in Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that God doesn't give us what we deserve? That's justice. How many of you prayed this morning, "God, I want you to be fair to me. I want you to give me what I deserve." We don't want justice. We need mercy. We need grace. And that's a picture of this city of refuge. Whosoever, Jew, Gentile, male, female, old, young, rich, poor, we can flee to Christ and find that shelter, find that protection. What are some of the similarities? Remember, as I was giving you some of the background of these cities of refuge, there had to be easy access to the cities of refuge. The cities of refuge had to be accessible. And Jesus Christ is like that for us, isn't he? Through him, we have access to the Father. And you and I know that we can always come to Christ. We can come to Christ any place, any time, with any need. He's very accessible, isn't he? Aren't you glad for that? Because you see, mortal man cannot always be accessible. When you're not, you usually get someone's answering machine. How disturbing that is. You're in this great need and you call and then you get, you're going through a crisis and then you go, "Hello, you've reached the Viola residence. Why are you so stinking cheerful? I'm in an emergency." But you know, you never get an answering machine when you call upon the name of the Lord. He's always accessible for you, for me. And you know what? I've learned over the years, and I'm learning, that I would rather sit and meet with the Lord than meet with man. He's our refuge. His arms are always open for us. He's always there to receive us. Always there to listen to us. David, remember, wrote in Psalm chapter 34, verse 18, "The Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart, and saves such as be of a contrite spirit." You see, there is a condition. We must come to the Lord broken. We must come to the Lord with a humble heart. The opposite of poor in spirit is what? Proud in spirit. The proud don't have access to God. The humble, the hurting, the needy. And yet Jesus tonight is totally accessible. When we come to Him with a broken and a contrite heart. When we come to Him when our spirits are broken, when our wills are broken, when our bodies are broken, when our minds are broken, when our emotions are broken, we can go to the Lord and find refuge in Him. Always. Always. And He never runs short of grace and mercy. Never. We see that in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. We can come boldly to the throne of grace and find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Jesus is our refuge. Remember when we were reading the verses that the gates of the city of refuge were never to be locked. It's the same picture for us when we come to Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry about finding some weird combination of religious locks and keys to come to Jesus. You know, some groups, unfortunately, they got you all tied into, you know, into terminology and everything. You don't know if you can come or if you can't come. The gates of the cities of refuge were never locked. The doors are always wide open. Jesus said, remember, I am the door. And that door is never locked. It's always there, open for you. For me, as His children, open for you tonight. If you've never received Christ and been born again, that place of refuge is there for you tonight. And that place is Jesus Christ. The cities of refuge, we saw, provided the physical resources of food and a place for the fugitive. And again, how that speaks so much about our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our totally sufficient refuge. My God shall supply all your need tonight. Whatever that need is, whatever that hurt is, whatever that pain is, whatever that is. And for each and every one of us, we can relate to that. We can identify to that in some way, shape, or form, can't we? Christ is all sufficient. All sufficient. He's accessible. He's all sufficient. Dwell on that. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord who is near. He's the Lord who is there. He's the Lord that is with you. Isn't it precious? The living God, the creator of heaven and earth, our refuge. He's everything that we need to sustain us. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, we read, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Have you discovered that you need wisdom, if you're going to make it through this thing that we call life? You need wisdom, you need understanding, you need knowledge, you need discernment. And there's worldly wisdom, and then there's godly wisdom, heavenly wisdom. Tonight, we're reminded that we can go to Christ, who is the fount of all wisdom, knowledge, understanding. You see, because He knows your situation better than anybody else. And as you pour out your heart to Him, and as you and I trust Him, and as we ask Him for wisdom and guidance and direction and discernment, He guides our path. How wonderful it is to know that there is such a one to come to, one who can provide all of our needs. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, I am the living water. I am the bread of life. The only place to find protection from the avenger of blood was in the city of refuge. You see, a person could be sorry for what had happened, but if they were anywhere else besides the city of refuge, it didn't matter. And if you and I don't flee to the refuge that God has provided us in Christ Jesus, then there's no spiritual asylum for us. Apart from Him, we have no hope. Apart from Him, there is no help. You see, you and I can reach out to one another, and we should. We're commanded to, but we can only do so much. The Bible says over and over and over again, vain is the help of man. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 17, we are told clearly, cursed is the person that trusts in man, that looks to man. Now, we should be there to help and to bear one another's burdens, but we can only do so much. The only one that can do everything for us is Christ. He's the wonderful counselor. He's the great physician. He's the one that gives us peace and strength and comfort and grace and mercy and wisdom and understanding. Remember, there is no other name other than the name of Jesus. And I like how the city of refuge was for all people, not only the Israelites, but even the strangers. In other words, no limitations. Jesus invites all, whosoever will, may come to him tonight. Aren't you thankful that the way of refuge is made available to all and any who come to God through Christ? He is our refuge tonight. Right now, he's your refuge. And the cities of refuge were only a shadow of the true refuge that is available in Christ. Once we trust in Christ, we are secure. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so tonight, saints, as we begin the Wednesday night journey through the Old Testament, what a way to start. Cities of refuge, a wonderful picture that God gives us here in the 20th chapter of the book of Joshua. Reminding us that there is only one place to find the needed refuge. And reminding us that people who are in bondage, people who are in captivity, people who are hurting, people who are lost, they need Jesus. They don't need religion. They don't need church. And I'm saying that hoping that you understand. You're the Wednesday night group, okay? Jesus is pro-church. We're his bride. But the church as an institution can do nothing for sinners. It's only Christ. It's only Christ. And I like that. The older that I get, I like that. Because in Psalm 62, verse 5, you know it's on the right-hand side of the Bible, about halfway down the page, it says, my expectation is from him. Every time my expectation has been from a human being, it's fallen short. Because I've put them on a level of God. And no human being can meet that. My expectation tonight is from him. Your expectation is from him. He may and often does use other people. But beloved, look to him. Look to him for that mercy. Look to him for that grace. Look to him for that forgiveness. Look to him for that healing touch. Look to him. He's our refuge. He is our refuge. The door is always open. The gate is always open. He has the supply. And the wonderful thing about it is that if the truth were to be told and the books of Raymond Viola's life were opened in a court of law, I wouldn't get through the front door. There wouldn't be a public defender that would want my case. But Jesus has taken it. And because of his blood and because of his grace, I have been declared not guilty. Woo, that makes me want to shout for joy. And that's where it begins. But we go there to him every day, throughout the day, because he is our rock. He is our refuge. He is our very present help in times of trouble. Charles Spurgeon said these words, only waste no time. Loiter not by the way, for the avenger of blood is swift of foot. And it may be he is at your heels at this still hour of eventide. If any of you have yet to trust Christ alone for your salvation, flee to him tonight. Is that you? If you're not in Christ, if you're not in that city of refuge, the slayer, the enemy, will surely get you, and you will perish. You will perish forever. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his holy, his wonderful.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we continue this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Have you ever felt God's tug on your heart to participate in a foreign mission but didn't know where to start? Pastor Ray would like to invite you to learn more about the work he is doing in India. IndiaConnection.org is a small but growing missionary organization that is made up of over 100 Christian fellowships spread across India. In the face of poverty and persecution, our pastors proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, people are hearing the good news and getting saved every day. Here in Rochester, India Connection gives everybody a chance to help equip and edify God's church in India. Our volunteers help build churches in villages that have never had one before, heal the sick on a medical missions trip, teach young men and women how to be effective teachers of the Word, and care for abandoned and at-risk children at the Girls' Home of Pune. A good place to start is to come to one of our meetings, the third Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship in East Rochester. Our next meeting is Thursday, March 16th. Hope to see you there.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.